5 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
You're on Alive 90.5 with Jim and Darren, and you specifically in the program of Spotlight, a show that tries to highlight the significance and the contribution that people make. And we're really delighted to have on the line Dr. Andrew Black, the director of the Living Lab Westmead at the University of Sydney. Good morning, Dr. Black.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we very much love what you do, and it's a great journey and a great story, lots of challenges. Just to refresh for our listeners, the Living Lab, primarily what's its focus?
Well, we're focused on health and well-being, broadly speaking, and improving that. And really, we're interested in the kinds of problems where we can bring kind of all of the people involved in a particular space together. You know, I'm trying to avoid using the word stakeholder, which I hate, but I don't really have a better word, unfortunately. So where you can bring health professionals, people from the university, but most importantly, people from community, patients, families, carers, others, into a conversation to understand what problems are and what issues are, the things that matter to people, and how you might solve those together.
And that's really interesting, because when we look at the Living Lab at Westmead, they marry together two really important areas, digital health and data analytics. And I think they, both of them individually and collectively, tell a story. Walk us down that road.
Yeah, this is it's fascinating, actually. And alternately, it's incredibly challenging. So there's huge insight to be gained, both at the sort of clinical end of the data and the research end. And there's some great institutions here at Westmead, the two medical research institutes in particular, Westmead Institute and the Children's Medical Research Institute, who are doing fantastic work at the cutting edge of, you know, basic biomedical technologies of various descriptions, but they're heavily data-driven. So understanding human genome, human proteome, and what information that means. And then if you can connect that to the kind of clinical data that we've got, and how people show up to hospital with particular kinds of problems and the way they're described, and link that even further to other kinds of data that we might have about the environment or people's socioeconomic status or their kind of living environment, you can start to get really interesting insights into how and why different kind of problems manifest, but also then helps you understand whether when you try to tackle those problems, you're actually making a difference or not.
So, Andrew, just like to explore a few technology concepts there that you might have talked through, like genome and proteome. How can you simplify those sort of, microbiology type terms for our listeners, but also kind of the way that the different levels of the data starts exploding and how you start to try and manage such big data sets based on the complex microbiology that we have in our bodies?
I'm going to take a deep breath, and I wish there's someone else I could handball that to. So my expertise in this area is very, very limited, and you know, it'd be great to come back on the show with a couple other people who are much more well versed in these things. But you're exactly right, though. When you get into these the sort of microbiological components that make up, you know, the chemistry that makes us all people together, but makes every individual. It's incredibly complex and sophisticated. The genome, the sort of map of what every person looks like and how that manifests then through different proteins that get made and really drive the body. So for every person, that's different. And that is opening up, as we speak, a kind of whole area of medicine called precision medicine, where instead of saying everybody or to anybody, if you've got a headache, take Panadol and lie down or whatever it might be. Extrapolate that to much more specific issues or critical issues. But even then, instead of just giving everybody the same drug or the same treatment, being able to understand that, you have a particular manifestation of that based on your individual chemistry. And then that we can potentially give you the best possible treatment according to what that chemistry says and what we know would give you the best outcome. So starting to get a handle on that data really gives you an insight into much better care for individuals. But as you say, it's incredibly complex, and making that step from, you know, drug X treats, you know, condition Y and however many millions of people, it's to say for you, Suzanne, you've got this kind of problem, and we know that out of the 10 drugs available, this one is the one for you, and here's the best way to take it and the best treatment regime for you as an individual.
Back to your skill set and something that we know you can answer very well, and we will take you up on an opportunity to bring in the experts on genomes and the proteomes and the like. How is a living lab helping to take part in that complex data puzzle and actually provide for support, so to say, in the big digital landscape as it is with precision medicine?
Yeah, so what we're working on at the moment is a partnership actually with the University of New South Wales and also with Amazon, and we're working at the moment at the particular piece of the problem, which is about how we start to use data that's in the electronic medical record in the clinical system in more efficient ways. So at the moment, it's quite challenging to get at that data. The software that runs that is big and complicated and slightly unwieldy for use outside of, you know, the specific purpose that it's designed for. So we're working on ways to use that data, make it available for doing analytics, for linkage to other kinds of data sets, to start to get us back into that sort of insight space. So there's a bunch of technical stuff there, and also a bunch of stuff around data governance and the ethics and the privacy and all of those things that we need to worry about appropriately. But trying to make that available for clinicians to provide better care and for researchers to be able to use it as well for interesting things.
You're on Alive 90.5 on Spotlight with Darren and Jim, and we've been very fortunate to be speaking to an incredible person who has such great stories and great vision to see where our world could be and where they're trying to take it in the medical and related fields. And that's Dr. Andrew Black. We'll be back after a little interlude.
It's 18 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and we're talking with Dr. Andrew Black from the Living Lab and University of Sydney. Now, Andrew, anyone who's been around Westmead knows there's a lot of development there, and briefly, we touched on before when we talked to you about the Innovation Centre. And I understand that some planning has progressed as far as what's going to take place in the Innovation Centre, which is tucked in there behind the Westmead Institute and in front and kind of headlines the new Westmead Hospital building.
Yes. So the building will be opening early next year, along with the main hospital building that's behind it. It's actually got a big sign on it saying Westmead Health Precinct, and it looks fantastic. We're still in a process of fitting out all of the inside, but some of it is done, and there are a number of things that we're working on that will be ready to go through the Innovation Centre. So a couple of those things. One is a way to start showcasing a whole number of virtual reality projects that we're working on around the precinct. We're coming up with new ways to educate clinicians, for example, expose them to the kinds of environments and scenarios that they're going to face in real life that's really hard to talk to them about and just give them the sort of theoretical understanding of, but we can give them those training experiences in a much more realistic kind of way in a virtual reality setting. And there'll be some other projects that we can do there that we can draw in community, start to showcase that technology, and get them engaged in a process of innovation there. So that's one thing. And I'm also working on a competition actually for eliciting new ideas for innovations. And we're just finalising the development of that, and hopefully that will start to run before the end of the year and into next year. And the idea is that anybody around the Westmead precinct, whether they're an academic or a clinician or a member of the community that has a great idea, has an opportunity to come and pitch that idea. And through a process that we're thinking is going to be innovative of itself, will help that person build a team around them to build out that idea and give them some development opportunity as well. And then there'll be an end to that process where that idea gets pitched back to a community of people that will make a decision about whether to kind of back it to go forward or not. But really, we want to engage, like I say, the whole precinct and the whole community in this idea of coming up with new ideas for improving the way we deliver health and the way we keep people well.
Andrew, it's amazing what you're doing. It's truly inspiring. There are a number of areas, if we look at your website and different things, that you're talking about the whole area of looking at what we call digital health, which we spoke about very briefly before. But your research centres on a number of areas around development of matrix and or the development of matrix, which highlights a number of sub-themes. Just for today, I'd like to highlight, you know, aged care and ageing is a really important part of the journey of life.
Mm.
And our listeners... we have listeners of all ages and so on, but, you know, say those people post 60, 70, that journey in terms of innovation, what are you working on now that would be of interest to our listeners that would say, oh, that's interesting?
Well, there are a couple of different things. So one is, let me go back to some of that virtual reality stuff I was talking about before. So one is the potential for, and we've seen this particularly with COVID, right? So people in aged care facilities, in nursing homes, other sorts of things where they're isolated at the best of times, but they're not to be able to have family come and visit, or you know, friends or other people that they know that really give them that connection back into the world and their you know, their memories. Is there a way that we can improve that situation? And building some virtual reality tools that either let people connect through a virtual reality environment, where, you know, someone in an aged care facility might have a headset that they can use, they can engage with other people, but that technology might also give them a window back into their own memories and their own story in a way that is comforting and you know, helps keep them connected and well in a time where they'd otherwise be completely isolated and shut off. So those kinds of technologies.
That sounds really exciting there, Andrew. So you're saying that for a person who's moving on in age, that they can be kind of grounded and connected back in reality by virtual reality of what they've experienced in the past, but also experiencing a connection to the outside world as well.
Yeah, that's right. So you can either be connected, or you could do it all together, right? In a virtual environment, you could certainly be connected to images and stories and you know, things that, you know, places that you've been to or memories that you've had. So those things, and you can certainly engage with other people in a virtual environment now.
So it'd be a whole family type affair in that gathering those memories for that person, but taking part in delivering and sharing and reliving those memories as well. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. And so you could really provide, you know, almost as good an environment as, well, it's never going to be as good as a real environment. But, you know, for a person that's sitting otherwise completely alone and unable to see people, that would be a pretty good stab at being able to recreate something that brings them comfort in a time of challenge otherwise.
And it's more experiential. It's not the, let's look at the photo album and the grandkids go, not again. It's something they can take part in, but helps the person who's moving on in their age. Wow.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you can go beyond just the photo then, right? So, you know, you can imagine if one of your memories is some trip abroad or to another part of the country where you had a particular experience, and instead of just seeing a photo, you could, there'd be a way to reconstruct or recreate a much richer environment in that virtual setting that you could enjoy and that would trigger, you know, some very specific memories, but it could even build around that in an interesting kind of way, right?
That sounds fantastic. As usual, time is our enemy, Andrew. We don't
Already,
normally...
Surely not.
It is. You know, what you talk about is just absolutely amazing and cutting edge. Darren and I'd like, again, to ask you to come back at a later date, because an area that I think we can specifically home in on is the whole rehabilitation after injury and trauma. So the trauma and or the injury has occurred. Yep. So how does the layperson, the ordinary person, try to facilitate that relationship? And I think it would be really interesting as a flagship, it's your number 5 flagship program, what's happening in that world to help us understand where the world's going and what we can do. And I think that would be fascinating if you would accept, Darren, my invitation, please.
And also, Andrew, come and launch your competition when that's ready.
Yeah,
you can come
that would be fantastic.
Launch it with us or co-launch, whatever you like, but we'd love to hear about that when it's ready, and then we can talk about those other elements of your Matrix programs as well.
Yeah, no, the rehabilitation things are really interesting. There's a very specific project that's just starting to build around...
Oh, not too much now, not too much, Dr. Black.
All to do with being able to understand people's identity, right? And there's a whole bunch of different dimensions to that, but that's what you're starting to get at.
Oh, absolutely. And if there's ways in which we can do that, we'd be absolutely delighted. Thanks for joining us on Spotlight. We always welcome people such as yourself that tries to build a better world. And thank you for using your skills and talents to be better in your own life and to spread that amongst all the researchers and the people to help us in our daily living. Thanks so much, Doctor.
No, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Darren. It's been a pleasure again.
Thank you.
Well, that was Dr. Andrew Black. He's an incredible guy, the director of Living Lab at Westmead at the University of Sydney. I mean, when you drill down to each of the areas, the programs they're looking at, that's what I would love to let our listeners find out more about the world. This could be in the next week, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, where they can bring relevance or more relevance.
It's great that people like Dr. Black are working in the space between the research, the clinical work, but also the technology and that virtual reality project for those who are getting older.
Yep.
Fantastic. So we'll have him back soon and keep you updated.
Let's go to a break.
Alive 90.5.